The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Dr. Allison Cook shares what she learned about herself after suffering a stroke.
It was such a vivid illustration of life is fragile. There's things we don't have control over. But you know, I could live in fear, or I can say, what do I have control over? Because if we stare all the time at the thing that's hard, or the thing that's unfair, or the thing that doesn't make sense, we're not going to get anywhere.
Discover the best of you next on Life Today.
Well, we welcome you to Life Today. James and Betty here. This is amazing. The best of you. Some of you may not think you have a best. Just listen to the subheading. Break free from painful patterns, mend your past, and discover your true self in God. And that really is what He desires to be in us, because He's the source. But this wonderful Dr. Allison Cook is really anointed of God, gifted by God to help us discover. Now, I want to just say, I want to welcome you, Allison, to life today, all over the world. I just got to ask you, breaking free from painful patterns, and you look like you're quite comfortable in your own skin. You look like, you know, you've got a nice family. But what do you know about painful patterns?
I think we all are breaking free from painful patterns, every single one of us, some more than others. Some of us have big T traumas, right? These big T maybe suffered abuse or severe neglect. Others of us, the little T traumas, the wounds, just the paper cuts of being a human in this world that has a lot of pain in it, and even some toxicity that we bump into. And so we're all breaking free from painful patterns. I think that's part of sanctification. It's part of how we're growing to be more like Christ, to become more and more and more of this beautiful soul that God designed each one of us to have. But the minute we enter into this world, we are bumping up against stuff that's wounding us, that's keeping us from that truest version of ourselves.
So many times we look at ourselves differently than what God looks at us. We don't see who God sees in us, and all the gifts and all the wonderful treasures He's put in our bodies and our life. We're concentrating all the negative.
Exactly. And I talk about shame, that voice of shame that I believe is a voice from the enemy of our souls.
It's because we all have failed.
That's
in
right.
In some way, the Bible is written by people who failed.
Exactly. Exactly. So because we've all failed, that voice of shame comes in and wants to magnify it. And it can feel true to us. Mm-hmm. It can feel like, well, I am a terrible person. I am a miserable mess. I have made all of these mistakes. So we start to believe that voice of shame as opposed to healing. And so part of healing painful patterns and part of my own story, I took on beliefs that it's my job to only ever focus on everybody else. That what I needed in my life, maybe didn't matter. And that sounds kind of minor, but when you live that way, I talk about how I had this really deep faith in Jesus. I loved God. I wanted to help others, but I didn't have a clue how to care for my own heart, soul, and body, and had a lot of shame. I had a lot of shame.
Did you find the religious community could add to that shame too often?
Yes, at times, unfortunately. And I think that's another tool of the devil, right? Because we pick up these beliefs. So we go to church and we hear these messages. If I already have a lot of shame, I already don't think highly of myself. I already feel like a failure. And then I hear a message that Jesus said, such as die to yourself, or, you know, you can't trust yourself. You're a miserable mess, right? You hear those messages, but that's not what we mean. That's not what those messages mean, right? It doesn't mean to pile shame on yourself. That's not what Jesus means. Jesus means when we deny the old self, we're denying those shaming messages to become more of our true self, the person, as you said, that He actually made us to be, that we radiate the image of God. We were made in the image of God, and we were made to radiate God's image. And so a lot of times I say to people, sometimes in my work as a therapist, dying to yourself, denying aspects of yourself might be learning to deny those shaming, toxic messages and bringing in the truth of who you really are and who you can become in Christ.
I think it's very important to remember that one of the titles of the enemy, Satan, is accuser of the brethren.
Yes.
He's continually accusing us.
Yes.
And then we can join him accusing ourselves because we say, well, I guess the enemy, he's right about that. And Paul even talked about it, the greatest Christian that ever lived. He talked about these messengers of the devil, these tormentors, that they wouldn't let up, even though he asked. They still keep coming at you, which means this is reality. I get the impression you're trying to help people deal with reality in a positive, overcoming way to find the best of you.
Yes.
So explain how you're going to help in the book and in what you teach, and you watch people change. And I know that's what you're hoping for with a little more time to explain. But how do you help people escape these accusations they find themselves trapped by?
Yeah, because it is a process. I mean, we really have to work at it. There's a working out. I always say salvation can, in some places, be interpreted as healing or wholeness. And so salvation isn't a once and done thing for a future destination. It's a process of working out our becoming whole over the course of our life. And so I take you through that whole process in the book. It's sort of like therapy in a book rooted in Christian principles and biblical principles. But I like to say to people, Jesus said, love God, number one. So we look at God at the top of the triangle, love others as yourself. So there's three relationships right there, God, others, self. Now, a lot of us, to your point about church messages, a lot of us have heard about, we want to love God. And I see this all the time with folks who come into my private practice. I love God. I'm seeking after God. I'm trying to love others. I'm trying to be good to others. And I feel so broken. So this leg of that triangle, all three matter. And I tend to work with this self piece, not to the exclusion of God. You cannot heal apart from the one who made you. And you need to heal in the context of community, of giving and receiving from community. But this healing of the self, of taking inventory of our thoughts and the messages we're believing, of paying attention to wounds, areas of pain from our past that we've not been able to break free from. Well, there are interventions we can do, just like a medical doctor can go in and help someone with a wound that is not healing on its own. We can go in and help someone heal from past abuses, from past traumas. So I'm really looking at this healing the self in partnership with God's Spirit, in partnership with others. We never can take that self. You know, our world wants to take the self out and put it on the top. That's not what we're doing here. But it is an important part of this triangle of relationships. It is an important part that we have a responsibility to attend to.
Are there some trigger thoughts that help people begin to take those positive steps that you try to sow, not only in your teaching and your seminars or wherever you happen to be speaking, but in the book? Is there something that is a starter, let's say?
Yeah, the first pain point that oftentimes people come to me with is they're overwhelmed and exhausted and they want to set boundaries. they want to figure out how to say no to other people. So that's often when oftentimes people are like, I just don't know what to do. I'm pouring out, and I'm just feeling broken inside. And so the first step I will say, and it's really counterintuitive to a lot of Christians, is you have to start listening to the cues your own body is sending you. God designed your nervous system. God designed you to feel emotions. So when you're feeling overwhelmed or resentful, you need to pay attention to that and say, I wonder what that's... Get curious, is what I'll say to people. You don't want to act on it necessarily, but you do want to get curious. I wonder what that's about. And you want to... Curiosity takes you away from that voice of shame, right? So we go to, I'm feeling so resentful, you know, my family or my kids or whatever, and I hate feeling that way. I'm a terrible person. So the enemy's just gotten that foothold. As opposed to going, I'm so resentful. I don't know what it's about. I don't like feeling that way. God, what's going on? What do I need to pay attention to? Because oftentimes those emotions are cues that maybe we're overextending our limits. Maybe we need to set some healthier boundaries. So step one is actually starting to reframe how you relate to those emotional cues, like the light on your car, right? When you're driving along and the light goes on and it's saying something needs attention, we don't just try to make that go away. We go, oh, I wonder what the engine needs. So that's kind of where I'll start with people. Let's just start paying attention without shame, without judgment, what's real, and then let's see where it takes us.
Don't you find that people allow themselves to become bogged down trying to deal with the problems of others out of a genuine concern? And one of the things the Lord showed me, because I traveled all the time, I was very effective. You know, when Billy Graham tells you you're the most effective at reaching a city, and he was pretty effective at reaching every city, and everybody is pushing me to go, and I went, and I went. But I learned as I went that there's something about the Sabbath rest. There's something about taking a break. And one of the things I felt the Lord spoke very clearly to me is, if you let your schedule run your life, your schedule will ruin your life. And sometimes our schedule, because we think we're doing the will of God, help. But sometimes we need to stop. And we need to not be under the control of other people's burdens that we sincerely care about. We need to find a time to rest. Does that sound to you like a part of this process of healing?
100%. And sometimes I would even take it a step further. When we can't say no to all the needs around us, we're not only hurting ourselves, sometimes we're enabling other people. It's not necessarily good for other people either. And so taking that step back, taking what I call a U-turn, to go, wait a minute, if I'm angry, if I'm resentful, if I'm, am I loving out of guilt? Is it guilt-driven love? I see that one a lot. Is that really helping the other person? Or is there an invitation here that maybe God has something for me that I need to receive?
You know, it's something you share with others, but also in the book, that you actually suffered a stroke.
I did.
Okay, what in the world brought that on?
It was out of the blue. And so it was definitely, for me, that moment of what the light going off on the dashboard of the car. We don't know exactly what caused it. It took me months to sort of reconcile that, I would say, to my doctors. And I think about this as a therapist, too. When we have a name for something, it actually helps us. Because when we have a name for something, we can understand it. But when someone says, we don't know why this happened, it's almost scarier. And my doctors would say, actually, it's a good thing. You don't have any of these other major risk factors. So it was a little bit out of the blue.
Can you mind me asking what effect or impact the stroke had when it hit you?
My husband acted so quickly that I received the clot blast medication. So I didn't really walk away with any physical injuries, other than that emotional mental
piece.
But
he could tell something went on that was
I was on the floor.
Could not be tolerated.
He threw me in the car and raced me to the ER.
And you don't find necessarily a specific reason for it?
They don't know.
Like it piled up, and you, to me, you had to be quite young.
I was
you wouldn't think that somebody would have that. No explanation for
There's
it, really.
There's some hypothetical, you know, sort of a cocktail of things. But at the end of the day, I really had to make peace with the fact that there are sometimes things that we don't know. And I had to pivot to, you know, again, here's what I can control. And I'm always telling people this, what do I have control over? I didn't have control over that. There are certain things I can do. You know, you can exercise, you can do all the things to prevent it, but we don't know exactly what caused it. And so it was such a vivid illustration of life is fragile. We don't always know. There's things we don't have control over. But you know, I could live in fear, or I can say, what do I have control over? Lord, what can I control today? What can I live into today to take advantage of this one life God has given me while I still have days? So it really brings that home. Yeah. You know, you start to live differently every single day.
At the same time, you want to say, pause and say, God, is there something you want me to learn from this or to know from this to help me grow and continue to grow? And it can give you a different perspective on things a lot of times. The physical can.
Oh.
Yeah.
Your dependence on God.
Yeah.
Did it end up being a positive part of the process of moving past that? to where it becomes a part of what you're sharing with others, that even what appears to be a challenging or something that is unexplainable, you can actually advance?
Yes, because two things, what it showed me are two things. One is we are utterly dependent. God numbers our days, every single one of us, no matter how much we think, you know, we can, it's really up to Him. That's true. And what's also true is while I still have days, I want to be doing everything I can in my control to be being as healthy as I can. That's part of my responsibility, to help as many people as I can. That's part of my responsibility. So it's that both and. And so when I'm working with people, that's a lot of times folks have, they come to me with injuries, with pain that is unimaginable from their past, right? I'm sure you all see it all the time. I can't change that. I can't change that. It's unfair. You know, it happens. But what do you have control over? What can you take responsibility for? Because if we stare all the time at the thing that's hard or the thing that's unfair or the thing that doesn't make sense, we're not going to get anywhere. We have to release that to God. You know, that's part of that daily, God, you know, while I'm still here, this is what I will do. This part is so hard for me, but this is what I can do. And so it kind of teaches, it's taught me how to live that out in my own life.
So you've written a book to try to take people past the painful patterns and move into a more positive relationship and a way of living in an overcoming life. Do you have a website that we can tell our viewers about? What would it be?
You can go to drallisoncook.com. I have a weekly podcast and a weekly blog that I post every week on there about these topics, about anxiety, about trauma, about boundaries, about finding your voice, about, and all of it in conjunction with faith practices. And that's probably the best place to
find
it.
And you see it there on the screen. And if you didn't get it down quick enough, you can always ask our prayer center, what was that? Do the viewers have an opportunity to invite you to come and do something, let's say, related in their community or their church? Do you travel to places at invitation?
I do. I do some of that. I do a lot of virtual workshops and seminars. I have online courses where you can learn about boundaries. You can learn about healing painful patterns. So you can find all of that on
all
the website.
All of that is on the website.
Yes.
So if you, we get the book into the hands of our people, and by the way, you know, we're going to ask you to totally change lives. I mean, indescribably. And that's what love does. Love doesn't fail. And I want to say to you as the viewers, if you're a regular viewer of Life Today, you know I'm going to get to pour some life and love and hope on people that thought there would never be any. But we will send you the book along with other gifts that we have to say thank you for sharing the gift of God's love. Bottom line, if someone gets the book and gets into it, what is your prayerful hope that will happen as they read the book?
That you will receive the healing that God wants for you to have, that there is no valley too low, no pain too deep, that God will not reach in. And every hair on your head He loves, He also loves every cell in your body. He will come in and bring that healing that you need. It will require some work on your part. And I walk you through how to do your part of that. But when we do our part, God meets us there and brings us into wholeness.
Wow, Father, thank you for Allison's gift to communicate and then to write, really share your heart, your healing heart, your loving heart. And we just ask you to bless every person that is experiencing pain and that can experience the fullness of your healing in Jesus' name. We really are glad you joined us on Life Today. And you know this is a fact. We are always reaching out to touch someone with God's love, not just talk about it, not just love in word only, but indeed in action. And the least of these, Jesus says, Betty, when we notice the overlooked and you minister to them, you are my sheep and you're ministering to me. I want to show you how you can reach some of the most damaged, pain-stricken individuals on this planet. Those who've been sexually trafficked so often as children, that have basically been kidnapped And yet we can, with His love flowing through you like a river, we can set them free and become the miracle they so desperately need. Watch closely.
The mere thought of innocent children being trapped in slavery, robbed of their freedom and future, was and still is beyond heartbreaking. Today, millions of children around the world are still trapped in the horror of child trafficking. They are voiceless, defenseless, and in desperate need of our help. I'll never forget the moment when I first learned about the devastating reality that changed my world, child trafficking. Even after these children are found, the journey does not end there. These children need more than just rescue. They need love, support, and encouragement to heal from the trauma that they've endured. They need a safe haven, a place where they can rebuild their lives. I have seen firsthand the difference that a loving family can make in the lives of these children. Every step of this journey requires our unwavering commitment. It's a shared responsibility to rebuild what was stolen, their childhood, their dreams, and their sense of self-worth. Together, you and I can be a voice for the voiceless, a force for change, for justice, for healing. Together, we can dismantle the chains of child trafficking and light a path toward freedom. We know it's a long road, but we are making a difference, one child at a time. Will you stand with us as we champion the rights and dignity of every child?
You know, Betty, that accent was New Zealand, and she's come to the sex capital of the world. And you saw the beautiful building. I want you just to see that, the Destiny House. You basically, your love built that. And that's a Hollywood couple that provided power for all of the motion pictures that were where there was no power. And she had a 7-carat ring. I've told you this story before. She sold it. They went and rented facilities, and we found them. And they said our ministry had inspired them even to make the move they made. And we moved them from renting houses to building the most beautiful place. And it's just a magnificent thing what she's doing. But they're able to do it. They're able to reach, rescue, and restore, Betty. I mean, literally train these girls after they set them free, reach them, rescue them, and restore them, give them a future. That's what your love is doing. And right now, I want to remind you that we've got an incredible gift that will double what you give. $128 is the average to rescue one, but now it'll rescue two. You make a gift of $1,280, you don't just rescue 10, you rescue 20. Everything is doubled. So please, Father, help everyone watching to want to reach someone. We reach so many of them before they're kidnapped. We reach them when they're left somewhere and they're so vulnerable, or when they're promised a false hope and taken captive. God, thank you for that. Thank you for the viewers that make it happen, in Jesus' name. Amen. And it really is the viewer. It's the people that watch Life Today, that share Life Today. Would you go right now and get your bank card? Would you use it like a check? Would you go online or dial that number there, that prayer line that's paid for by love? And would you make the best gift you can, knowing that you're actually giving freedom? You're giving an opportunity to experience life miraculously. I'm praying everyone watching will help.
I do too. I know your hearts had to be touched, as ours is always, because we know the opportunity there. We know the heartbreak of kids needing that hope as little children, that life is going to get better for them. Please continue to join with us if you've helped us before, but if it's your first time, count it a great joy to be able to partner with us, and let's make a difference for these children.
Thank you so much. You know we're going to send you some gifts to bless you. because we want to always bless you, as we have during this program. But you are going to become somebody's miracle, and we thank you for it.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you Declare. This beautifully designed 31-day devotional reveals 31 names of God from Scripture and gives insight to the character, grace, and depth of God's love for you. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Gospels book set. This special edition collection of the four Gospels in the classic King James Version includes journaling space opposite each page of Scripture so you can reflect as you read, the perfect companion for your daily time with God. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You're going to love Declare. This is really the powerful names of God. But the way it's laid out, you have not only the devotional, but an opportunity to maybe record your own thoughts. Here are the Gospels, and each Gospel, it is the King James, but you have places to write notes beside each page and chapter. It'll be a blessing. And then if you would like to have Allison Cook's book, after listening to her, I think you realize it's possible to experience some healing that might be deeper and more meaningful than you imagine, but not more than God imagines for you. Allison, we really appreciate you. Your website is up there if people want to visit, and we want to thank you for sharing your story and the experience that you've been through, and to still have a bright countenance where it's obvious your experiences and blessings. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing life, not just watching life today, but sharing life today. Remember, this is the last week for Rescue Life, and we need an outpouring of literally the love that sets people free. Thank you so much.
And so I did what came naturally. I began to drink.
Max Lucado knows God never gives up on you. Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.